Hi, my name is Dr. Mark Alandari, and I'm an infectious diseases specialist in New Orleans.
Hi, my name is Hope Hickerson, and I'm a health education specialist and reporter. This is the Noise Filter Podcast, where an infectious diseases physician,
that's me, and a health education expert,
that's me, talk about what you need to know to keep yourself and your loved ones healthy.
For more information about Noise Filter, your public health podcast, and to watch and share our incredible informative animations, please visit us at noisefiltershow.com.
And if you like what you hear, don't forget to leave a review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to us. So, let's get started. Animal tranquilizer mixed in street drugs. Unsuspecting drug users are increasingly at risk of hard-to-treat overdoses and dangerous side effects caused by a common animal tranquilizer, which is showing up in more and more illicit drug supplies. Ugh. According to the FDA, the tranquilizer xylazine is primarily found in heroin and illicit fentanyl, and overdoses can resemble those caused by opioids. Ugh. But since xylazine is a sedative and not an opioid, it cannot be reversed by standard opioid overdose reversal methods. A desperate rescuer may try a second or third dose of this drug. When too much naloxone is taken, this in and of itself can lead to complications that lead to death when the person is suffering from extreme sedation from xylazine. Okay, because I thought, so it's only if it's in combination with this xylazine if you take too much naloxone, because I've seen people take, like, they're like, just give it to them if they need it until they wake up, right?
I mean, you should only give one or two doses of naloxone. I mean,
okay,
you have the wrong diagnosis if after two doses, maybe three, somebody is not awoken. There's okay. Other things you gotta check: their sugar, you gotta check their oxygen level, you gotta check their thiamine. I mean, there's other things. Now, obviously in the street that may not necessarily be the case, but these are those are the things that we know in the hospital. The mnemonic TONS, T-O-N-S, so thiamine, oxygen, Narcan, and sugar. That's what we do for people who come to the hospital and they're obtunded or not arousable. So in 1962, xylazine was developed as an anesthetic for veterinary procedures. Typically, it's used to sedate horses before surgery and used as a pain reliever. Due to respiratory depression and lowering of blood pressure, trials in humans were stopped. As a heroin substitute, it most likely became popular in the 2000s, but it wasn't until relatively recently that it began showing up so often in street drugs. During the pandemic, xylazine bottles purchased online with a veterinarian prescription or diverted from veterinary supply chains became popular as cheap and easy opioid fillers. This sedative can cause wounds to erupt with a scaly dead tissue called an eschar, which can lead to amputations if left untreated. For hours after use, users were also in a blackout daze, making them vulnerable to rape and robbery. When the users wake up, the fentanyl high has long faded and their cravings are strong for more, but xylazine may still be in their systems, leading to a potential fatal overdose.
FDA officials have also cautioned that the drug might go undetected in overdoses because it's not included in routine toxicology screenings. A number of street names for xylazine are being used, including Trank, Trank Dope, Sleep Cut, Philly Dope, and Zombie Drug. When a user of xylazine is in trouble, the best course of action is to check if the individual is breathing, protect the head and airways, administer one dose of naloxone, and call for assistance. You know, everybody... I know as a health educator, I've learned, you know, how to administer naloxone and how it's so, everybody was so excited about it because we saved lives. I cannot imagine coming upon someone, you're trying to save their life, it's not working, you don't know why. Like, it's bad enough that people are taking this drug, but then for the people who are trying to help and you're like, oh my God, like I'm doing everything I'm supposed to do. And it's not working. What do I do now? Like, this person may have,
Also think about this, you know, something that I've thought about often. And again, this is coming from a place of extreme privilege in our society.
Wow.
That you are going to go to a complete stranger, purchase something from this complete stranger, that you have no idea what it is and then inject it into yourself. Like the mindset to be in a place where that is considered the right thing to do at the moment. I understand what, you know, I understand the cravings and the addiction and the monkey on your back and all that for with opioid dependence. But man, and so this is why we need to be kind to everybody, but society stigmatizes obviously opioid use disorder. Mm-hmm. But again, this substance is xylazine, and it's known as trank dope, sleep cut, or zombie drug.
Zombie drug.
Because that's what I want to do. I want to pass out on the street so bad that I am left vulnerable for somebody to come upon my body, do with it what they will. But this is American life. I mean, it's hard out there.
It is.
We need to be kind and loving to everybody. Study finds alcohol and tobacco use shared among diverse ancestries. Alcohol and tobacco use can cause approximately 5 to 15% of deaths worldwide, respectively, and are associated with chronic illnesses such as cancer. Several physical and mental illnesses are associated with smoking and drinking, including cardiovascular disease and psychiatric disorders. Environmental and social factors influence both tobacco consumption and alcohol consumption, but genetics can also play a role.
So a study involving nearly 3.4 million people with African, American, East Asian, and European ancestry identified more than 3,500 genetic variations that likely affect smoking and drinking behavior. Using data collected from samples from different ancestries, researchers discovered that the genes related to alcohol and tobacco use behaviors were strikingly similar in samples from different ancestries, with 80% of the variants having a consistent effect across all populations studied.
In part, the similarity across ancestries may be due to the fact that the vast majority of non-European groups included in the study live in the U.S., where they're likely to experience similar environmental influences such as public health policies and alcohol and tobacco availability. Middle Eastern and Indian populations where smoking is often prevalent were not included in the analysis. The analysis would be more accurate and would be able to identify more genetic associations if these populations were included.
As a result, the researchers acknowledge that their sample does not represent the full diversity of genetic ancestry and geography across the globe. They stated that in future phases of the study, they will welcome collaborations from other investigators who have access to additional data sets to further expand their studies.
That being said, it's incredibly interesting to look at genetic factors that may lead to an overdependence on alcohol and tobacco, and to find that in a huge study of over 3 million people, the genetic factors largely tracked between populations. So often, especially with items that are considered to be vices, those who don't face a challenge with these substances cannot understand why others do so. Can't they just face their free will to stop their bad habits? But we never know which of the 3,500 genetic factors each individual might have. So let's take this as a reminder to practice some empathy and perhaps, instead of judging, try to help.
Thanks for listening to Noise Filter, your public health podcast.
Be sure to subscribe to the Noise Filter podcast, follow us on social media, and leave us a review letting us know your favorite part of the show.
You can find me, Hope Hickerson, at hopehickerson.com.
And you can find me at Dr. Mark Allen Derry or at The Dr. Derry. That's D-R-D-E-R-Y.
To see and share our amazing animations and find out more information about us, the show, as well as links to our social media, go to noisefiltershow.com.
We are grateful to our sponsors, including Access Health Louisiana and the End the Epidemic Initiative, who are working to bring equitable health outcomes to everyone they serve. Hope, any last words?
Stay well out there, folks, and continue taking steps to keep yourself and your loved ones healthy. That includes exercise, a good diet, getting adequate sleep, and seeing your healthcare providers regularly.
And protect yourself and others by getting the COVID-19 vaccine and booster, wearing a mask, and social distancing wherever possible. Remember, health is a human right.